produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time. If you like Peanuts, you'll like Skippy. From Hollywood, Skippy, America's largest selling peanut butter, presents the finest in comedy, romance, drama, in the Skippy Hollywood Theater. With Jane Darwell in the homey comedy drama, Sugar and the Vinegar. Here is our director, Les Mitchell.
Welcome to the Skippy Hollywood Theater, ladies and gentlemen. There's an old saying in show business to the effect that the real stars of the show are the character actors. And in many cases, we feel that this is only too true. So from time to time, we like to bring before you as stars in their own right the people whose faces you have seen hundreds of times and whose work has caused you tears of laughter and sympathy, but whose names are not always given the prominence that their fine acting should have. Our guest and star is a great actress whom you have seen many, many times. Her list of motion pictures sounds like a who's who of good entertainment, including such films as Grapes of Wrath, Jesse James, My Darling Clementine, Three Wise Fools, and many, many others. And here she is, lovable and gracious as always, Miss Jane Darwell.
Thank you very much, Les. That's very nice of you, but I'm afraid I'm not always lovable and gracious.
Well, I'm not speaking of the parts you've played, Jane. I'm talking about you, the real Jane Darwell, who's meeting the audience right now. You see, you're not going to get an opportunity of playing a meanie here because our story concerns a wonderful lady...
Mustn't give the story away.
All right, I won't. I'll let your acting do the storytelling. But I do want a few moments with you after the play so that we can tell the audience something more about the real Jane Darwell.
That's a date I will love to keep.
Fine. And right now we have another date. A short session with Van the Skippy Man as he takes over with some fresh words concerning a fresh product, Skippy Peanut Butter.
If you were to privately peek into pantries throughout the United States, you might be surprised at the number of regional food preferences you discovered. You'd find, for example, that folks in Boston prefer brown-shelled eggs, Southerners taking sorghum on their hot cakes, while folks in Vermont look down their nose at anything except maple syrup on hot cakes. But practically wherever you went, you'd find Skippy the number one favorite peanut butter. You see, Skippy tastes exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. And that flavor rates first in Maine, California, or Kalamazoo. People everywhere appreciate the outstanding Skippy advantages. The fact that Skippy has no oil separation. The fact that it's easy to digest and stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful at the bottom of the jar. So whether you live in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, Colusa, California, or any spot in between, if you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. It's America's largest selling peanut butter.
Thank you, Van Desitel. Now, curtain going up. Places, everyone. Curtain. The curtain is up, and here's the play. The Skippy Hollywood Theater presents Act One of Sugar and the Vinegar, written by Vera Laurie Goodman and starring Miss Jane Darwell. In the little Midwest town of Cloverdale, Tom Paley, a veteran, lives with his father, the dictatorial Seth Paley, the druggist. 4 years in the Army has not lessened Tom's timidity toward his father. In fact, when Tom has a problem, he always turns to his Aunt Hildy, his dead mother's sister, who lives alone with her dog on the edge of town in a tiny cottage. This is where we find Tom now.
Hey, Aunt Hildy, where are you?
Is that you, Tom?
None other. Say, are you in that kitchen again?
Oh, I'm just tidying up, that's all. Land sake, seems like the whole summer's taken up with canning. It don't never end. Peaches and tomatoes and cucumbers.
And melon rind and beans. Land sake.
Oh, now you big baboon. Stop making fun of your old Aunt Hildy.
I'm not making fun of you. It's because I love you that I tease you. Say, maybe you got some of your famous chocolate cake around. I haven't eaten anything worthwhile since Mrs. Jackson stopped housekeeping for us. I'm practically starving.
Sure, sure. Ain't Seth been able to locate another housekeeper yet?
Nope. All the ladies would be able to do the job right don't want to have no truck with Pa. His reputation seems to be spreading far and wide.
Ain't a wonder. That man's sure sour when he ain't got the right cooking around.
You know, there ain't many could cook like your ma. Seems she was the only one who could stand his vinegar and change it to sweet. Here, eat the cake, son.
Aunt Hildy,
Well, what is it, Tom?
And this cake sure tastes good.
Got to think of it. What are you doing here at this time of day? You ain't lost your job.
No, Aunt Hildy, nothing like that.
Well, what is it? Speak up.
Aunt Hildy, I've been a coward.
Why, what a thing to say.
Well, I used to think when I got back from the army I'd stand right up to Pa and live my own life. Then I thought maybe I'd be able to soften him up without a row, but it's no use.
What's troubling you, son? Ain't no need to be afraid of telling me anything. Now, if you're in any kind of trouble...
Well, no, I'm not in any trouble exactly, Aunt Hildy, but I'm married.
Married? Well, land sakes, that ain't no trouble. That's right good news. Now, who's the lucky girl? Ain't Mary Bell Wilson, is it? Seems you used to be sweet on her before you went in the army.
Oh, no, that was kid stuff. Aunt Hildy, you've got to help me. My wife's arriving in town today, and I haven't told Pa yet.
Now, Tom, seems like you're making your father out a monster or something. He ain't so bad that he don't want you to get married and be happy. Why, seems like it would solve the housekeeping problem for him.
I haven't told you the whole story.
Well, go on, go on.
Well, my wife arrived in New York 3 days ago from England.
From England?
Yes. She's English. I met her over there. Well, I couldn't write and tell Pa. I figured it'd be better to tell him face to face. And now I've been back 6 months and I haven't told him yet. She's arriving in town today on the 2 o'clock train.
Well, you certainly can't just say, Pa, here she is, my English bride.
I know.
Why, the poor girl's liable to die of shock when she hears him spitting off about the English. Oh, Tom, why did it have to be an English girl?
Why can't he forget a grudge?
Well, he loved that sister of his. Can't never forgive that Englishman. First for marrying her and then for taking her away. Seems he's got to blame in all of England for his loss.
I know.
Your father's a mighty unforgiving man. He don't never forgive or forget, so he says.
What am I going to do? Where will I take her? There isn't a place in town for rent. We'll be living in the park if Pa doesn't accept her.
Now, don't fret so, Tom. We'll think of something. To my mind, tain't no man so hard that he can't be reached some way. You bring your bride here.
Oh, but Aunt Hildy, there's no room here. You and Jake's are crowded as it is.
Well, give me time to think. But get along with you now. Why, that train's liable to come in early, and the poor dear will be standing there waiting without a soul to greet her.
Good old Aunt Hildy.
Now, go on with you.
I'm going.
Oh, Tom, by the way, what's the name of that wife of yours?
Candy. Candy Thatcherson. Candy for short, and is she sweet. Bye.
Mighty fancy name for Seth Paley to be swallowing. Darnation, seems I'm as nervous as a cat. Wish Tom had told me a few days ago and I'd had more time to think. I gotta figure out to save this poor girl from being hurt. Well, seems like there ain't no other way but to call up Hester Bartlett. That old gossip knows just about everything that's happened in town. Like as not, she knows someone looking for a rumor. Hello, that you, Hester? This is Hildy. Oh, I've been busy with my cannon. Can't seem to get it done. Got something on my mind, Hester. Seems like you know pretty well what's happening in town. Well, you know, folks are likely to tell you more than they do other folks. Do you know anyone that's looking for a likely rumor? Nice, respectable couple. Hard-working, honest, dependable. And... Why, do tell. Not a room vacant in the town. Yes, I know. But who's going to board with Seth, saying he'd have him? There's none that will even housekeep for him. He's that contrary. Of course I could go and do for him. I thought of that, Hester. Seems like a right good plan. Now, if I can make up my mind to stand his cussedness, maybe I will. Maybe I will.
Aunt Hildy, here she is. Here's my wife.
Oh, welcome. Welcome, my dear, welcome.
So this is Aunt Hilda.
Yes, dear.
Tom spoke so much of you, it's almost as if you were my mother-in-law.
Well, it's all very well if you ain't thinking on those mother-in-law stories. Come now, Candace, sit down and rest yourself. Come, you make her comfortable. And I'll fix us a bite to eat. Tom ain't given me much notice, and I ain't had time to fix a real spread.
Oh, Aunt Hilda, Tom told me the whole story. I appreciate your welcoming me so much.
Oh, take nothing, child.
I shall try very hard to make Mr. Paley accept me, for I'd hate to come between father and son. I've left my whole family forever, and I want to gain as much family here as possible.
Well, don't you worry that pretty head of yours. Old Aunt Hilda will think up something.
Oh, Candy, can you ever forgive me for being such a fool? I should have told you the kind of man my father was, but I thought if I told you, you might say no, and I was afraid of losing you.
Oh, darling, I married you, not him. Perhaps we should tell him I'm French.
Not if I remember you're French. First time I met you, you were talking French, remember?
Rather.
You were trying to give directions to a French soldier, and brother, were you confused?
How can I forget? But seriously, darling, what are we going to do? I'm frightened.
Oh, honey, don't. Oh, darn it.
And here we are, here we are. Now, your first day together and both of you with faces fit for a funeral.
If Paul won't accept Candy, I'm going to get out of this town and he'll never see me again.
Well, now, there ain't no use running away, Tom. Ain't no different in other towns. Places to live are scarcer than hen's teeth. Here, you've got a good job and your friends. No, Tom, you've got to think of something better than that.
I've thought for 5 months.
Well, then just waste your mind. Let me do some of the thinking.
This is a jolly place, Aunt Hilda.
Well, it might small, but right homey. I'm glad you like it, Candy. You see, I've got a plan I've been saving to tell you about.
Aunt Hilda.
Seeing Candace don't mind the smallness of this place, seems like I'll have to go housekeep for that old fusspot myself and let you two young ones live here till Candace can win him over.
Oh.
Now, I'll wait till you tell him about Candace first. And if he refuses to have her in the house, you come straight back here. And I'll try sugaring his vinegar for a while till we can work him around. I'll answer it. Hello?
Hello. Hilda?
Hello, Seth. Shake your paw, Tom.
Ain't seen Tom today, have you? He wasn't over to his place. Mr. Jackson said he called up this morning and said he had to attend to some mighty important personal business.
Oh,
the boy's been nervous as an old woman ever since he come home. Seems like it ain't enough. I can't get no one to keep house for me, but the boy's got to act funny.
Well, I feel right sorry for you, Seth.
Seems a body's own kin could help him out some.
Well, I ain't said I won't.
Well, good for you. What'd you say, Hilda?
Well, I'm figuring to housekeep for you, Seth. Perhaps.
Well.
But don't worry none about Tom. The paper's always telling you to be patient with them boys who've seen action.
Oh, fiddlesticks. What he needs is a good wife to settle himself.
Exactly, Seth.
Some nice town girl like Maybelle Wilson.
Oh.
Thank the Lord, though. He didn't bring none of those foreign girls home. I ain't got no use for foreign cooking.
Oh, I don't know. Amos Smith's mighty happy about his son's marrying that English girl. Both he and Marty are right pleased with her.
Well, it's a lucky thing Tom didn't bring, one of those Britishes home. I wouldn't let none set foot in my house.
Oh, Seth Paley, you're an unforgiving old fool, and the day I come to keep house for you is a long, long way off. Goodbye.
And the curtain comes down on Act One of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Sugar and the Vinegar with Miss Jane Darwell. Here now, during our brief intermission, is Van the Skippy Man. Fortunately, Mr. Van Desitel is not anemic. If he were, he undoubtedly would require large transfusions of creamy-style Skippy peanut butter. So, Van, take over.
Please don't think I'm an eavesdropper, but last week I just happened to overhear two women talking down at the corner grocery. One woman was saying, "You may kid me about this, Louise, but you see, I'm sort of Scotch, so whenever I have to throw away a partly used package or jar of any kind of food, well, I just feel cheated. And that's happened to me so often with peanut butter, I just don't buy it anymore." Well, I just couldn't resist an opportunity like that. So I said, pardon me for butting in, madam, but I'd like to point out that Skippy is one peanut butter that never dries out or becomes rancid. Nobody's going to kid you about wanting to avoid waste. That's just good common sense. You're absolutely right that old-style peanut butter frequently dries out and becomes unusable. But new, improved Skippy stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful at the bottom of the jar. Well, with the aid of a jar from the grocer's shelf, I showed that lady how Skippy hasn't a trace of oil separation, stickiness, or dryness. When I finally pointed out in my most convincing manner that Skippy tastes exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts, she was convinced. And to wind up my little object lesson, may I just say that Skippy peanut butter is truly a food without waste. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater is presenting Miss Jane Darwell as Aunt Hildy in Sugarin' the Vinegar.
Well, that's done.
Rather large file to stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's nothing I like better than roast chicken, hot or cold.
Have you ever tried stuffing it with celery and chestnut?
No, if I ain't.
Oh, it's jolly good. You serve it with cream sauce and it's out of this world, as Tom would say.
That the way your ma used to make it?
Oh, no, that's the way I make it.
You can cook fancy dishes like that?
Rather, I love cooking.
Hi there, darling.
Hello, darling.
Gee, you're beautiful. Aunt Hildy, I've had enough. I'm not going to fool around any longer. I'm going to tell Pop right now. This is no life.
But, Tom, Aunt Hildy thinks we should wait.
Wait. That's all I've been doing.
How's the new housekeeper?
Housekeeper? The girl couldn't even cook. He fired her.
Oh, maybe it's just as well.
What are you up to now?
Well, seems an idea hit me square just now. Tom, did you know that your wife claims to be a right good cook?
I never had a chance to find out.
I never even cooked one meal for you, Tom. And how I wanted to.
Children, I got a plan to make that old sourpuss ask Tom to marry you.
Fine chance.
Candy's going to apply for that job of housekeeper.
What?
Nobody's met her yet. She can say she arrived in town today and is looking for a job.
Well, you'll notice her speech.
Well, her speaking ain't too bad. And when your pa eats her meal and comes he likes it, he ain't going to ask so many questions. Now, you're sure you can cook, Candy?
Just tell me what he likes, Aunt Hildy, and I'll make it. Oh, I think it's a jolly good idea.
Say, not bad. How'd it be if I took Candy over to the house now and let her cook dinner? Then when Pa comes home, I'll tell him I hired a new housekeeper, and I won't let him see her till after the meal's over.
That's a bad idea. And if the meal is good enough, he ain't gonna ask how come you're hiring housekeepers.
How you doing, honey? Dinner almost ready?
Oh, darling, don't worry. This meal is good enough for His Majesty the King.
It sure smells it.
And I've made everything he likes. Aunt Hildy even showed me how to make a pumpkin pie. That's the only question mark on the menu.
Tom Beckett, where are you?
Here. Okay, honey, here goes.
What you doing out to the kitchen? Ain't trying to cook, are you?
Well, not exactly, Paul, but dinner's ready when you are.
Some stew you messed together or some of that button food?
No, Paul, this is an honest-to-goodness home-cooked meal. Come on.
Can't be.
Well, it is, Paul. I hired a new housekeeper this morning.
What? You hired a new housekeeper this morning? Since when you hiring housekeepers?
Well, Paul, it's this way. I was down at the station on business this morning. I saw this woman get off the train.
Uh-huh.
She seemed new in town, so I asked her if I could help her. She tells me she's looking for a job. Well, I said, can you cook? She says cooking's her middle name, so I hired her.
Let me see her.
Oh, not till after dinner, Paul. She's sort of bashful. Said she'd rather wait till after dinner since I told her you were very particular.
Well, got much to lose, seeing as how I ain't had a real decent meal since your ma died.
Oh, okay, Paul, you sit down. I'll serve.
I'm waiting, Tom.
Here we are.
Cold fried trout. Huh, I ain't had that in an age. This ain't bad. Of course, I would like some cucumbers and sour cream with it.
You have only to ask, Paul. You have only to ask.
Well, what do you know? This girl must be a regular mind reader. Creamed ham and chicken. What in thunder did that girl put in here?
What's the matter, Paul?
Mace. That's it. Right good.
Have some corn pudding, Paul.
Corn pudding? Much room for dessert.
Well, just taste this.
One for pies, excepting it's pumpkin.
That's just what it is, Paul.
Well, pass it. What are you waiting for? She has a meal fit for a man's palate. Bring the woman out.
Just a minute, Paul.
What? You've been out there cooking that meal? Oh, you're right young to be cooking that way.
But she did, Paul. She did.
Oh, speak up, girl. Speak up. How much did Tom say we're paying for housekeeping?
He didn't say, sir. He said he'd rather wait till the governor told me.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, she said she'd wait till you named the salary.
Nobody ever called me the governor.
Paul, look, the meal was delicious. Why don't you name a salary and we can get this all settled?
We are paying $20 a week, room and board, and that's a fine salary. Well, of course, you come here to work in that factory. There ain't a room in town for rent. Of course, they pay higher, but this is a mighty nice job for a nice homebody girl.
That's perfect, sir. You just show me through the house and I'll get everything straightened out.
You have a funny way of talking, girl. Seems like you must come from up near Canada.
That's right, Paul. That's exactly right.
Anybody serving?
Oh, I'm coming. Oh, you, Hildy.
You don't sound to get out pleased to see me, Seth. And here I've been a-wondering how you were coming without a body to cook for you.
Ain't you heard? I got me a housekeeper.
Oh, seems like I did hear about it, but I plumb forgot.
Right. Smart girl, too, my housekeeper. Can cook fit for a king. Ain't tasted such cooking since Sarah died.
Why, do tell.
Right footy, too. Nice having around the house.
Right, please, ain't you, Seth? Seems like you'd sort of hint to Tom to make up to her. Save you a sight of money, them two were to marry.
Ain't complaining. Anything you was coming after, Hilda?
Yes and no, Seth. I didn't even talk to you.
Oh, sure. Got to close up anyway. Everybody to the side of town swimming. Hot day.
Well, it ain't as hot as it's going to be when I tell you what I got to tell you.
Well, land sakes, Hilda, speak up. You've been standing there like you swallowed the cap and were enjoying it.
Seth, I ain't let Tom tell you. I've been putting him off. Been telling him the time ain't right yet. Fact is, I've been hankering to tell you this news myself.
Tell me what?
Seems once and for all you should get over those notions of yours.
What notions are you talking about?
About them English. You've been so bloated with good food you ain't wanted to admit that Candace talks mighty like them Britishers. What?
Are you trying to tell me she's English?
Yes.
I aim to fire her tonight. I won't have one of them gold tongues.
I ain't deep, Seth, and I don't aim to stand here all day, and I ain't finished.
Ain't nothing you've got to say gonna make me change my mind. I ain't never forgotten. Don't aim to have nothing to do with them now or ever.
I said I ain't finished, Seth.
Well, go on. I got to close.
Before you fire Candace, think on this. You'll be losing more than a good cook. You'll be losing a son. She's Tom's British bride, come all the way from England. Tom is married to Candace.
It's lovely out tonight, darling, isn't it?
Yes, and it's such a pretty town.
What are you thinking about?
Oh, Tom, you know. It doesn't seem any use.
Well, he's crazy about your cooking.
Tonight he kept looking at me so queerly. I hate this. 7 days, and I thought I'd win him over with one meal.
Come on, honey. We'll break it to him tonight. If he raises the roof, we'll leave town on the morning train.
Oh, he'll never get over his hatred of that, I'm sure.
Well, here we are. You want to sit out for a while, or do you want to go right in and tell him?
Perhaps he's already gone to bed. I don't see any light. Tom, maybe we should wait.
Well, we'll soon find out.
Pa, what is this?
Tom, where's Candy? Oh, there you are. Come in, child. Come in.
Oh, Mr. Paley. Then you know.
Yeah, but it won't be Mr. Paley no more, I reckon. You likely be calling me Governor.
Aunt Hildy, did you...
All been saving that pleasure for myself, Tom.
But I thought... Well, we thought... Don't you hate me for being English?
Well, it's in I'm forgiving or forgetting. But figuring I lost one kin to the English, I'm getting back what's rightly mine.
You're square now, Seth. You and the English.
Curtain falls on the second and final act of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Sugar and the Vinegar, starring Miss Jane Darwell, who returns in just a moment.
If you think of peanut butter as being just a food for children, chances are you've never tried Skippy peanut butter. You see, new, improved Skippy, unlike old-style peanut butter, never picks a fight with your digestion. The whole family enjoys Skippy, and small wonder, for it tastes exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. And it stays fresh, sweet, and easily spread to the last spoonful. Creamy style Skippy, blue label, is triple milled to a buttery smoothness. Chunk style, red label, is creamy with crunchy little nuggets of peanuts added. Won't you try Skippy soon? And now here again is our director, Les Mitchell.
And here's our star, Miss Jane Darwell. That was a most convincing performance, Jane. Thank you very much.
It was a part that I liked. And you know, Les, when an actor likes a part, that too is sugar for the vinegar.
From what I've observed of your motion picture characterizations and your work with us, I'd say that you like every part you do.
Thank you very much again.
Now tell us something about your hobby, Jane. It's a most worthy one, and I think certainly worthy of mention.
Well, actually, it isn't much of a hobby, Les. It just happens that I'm very fond of animals, particularly dogs. And whenever I see a stray, I just can't resist picking him up and finding a home for him.
Well, all I can say is, bless your heart. It's been very nice having you with us, Jane, and I look forward until you can pay us another visit.
I've loved every minute of it, Les, and I, too, shall be looking forward to the next time. Before I go, I want to say thanks very much to Virginia McDowell and the rest of the cast for their fine support. And now I just want to say goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Jane Darwell.
Miss Jane Darwell was supported by an all-star cast. Virginia McDowell as Candy, Terry O'Sullivan as Tom, Earl Lee as Seth. Sugar and the Vinegar was written by Vera Laurie Goodman, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
Thank you for being our guests, and we hope you'll be with us again next week.
Musical score was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Be sure to listen each week and hear such stars as Frank Albertson, Barbara Luddy, Bill Goodwin, Helen Mack, Kathy and Elliot Lewis, and many other great actors and stories selected especially for them. Miss Jane Darwell will be seen in the Eagle Lion motion picture Red Stallion. Desitel speaking for the Skippy Hollywood Theater. This program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time.